Rendez-vous de la Francophonie is an annual celebration that promotes the French language, heritage, and its numerous cultural expressions. It runs March 2nd to 22nd, 2017 in communities across Canada. The RVF series, which showcases the diversity, duality, and dynamism of Canada's francophone communities, is brought to you by La Fondation Canadienne pour le Dialogue des Cultures, the National Campus and Community Radio Association, Canadian Heritage, and this station. Please stay tuned for the next half hour for this week's edition of Rendez-vous de la Francophonie. Visit ncra.ca/RVF for more information on the series.
Hello, Canada. My name is Miguel Lachance. I'm a volunteer radio host for CILU 102.7 FM in Thunder Bay. Thunder Bay, probably not the first place that will come to your mind when thinking about French in Canada. Quebec, New Brunswick, St. Boniface in Manitoba probably will come to your mind first. But still, even if in northwestern Ontario, where Thunder Bay hails, there's not a lot of francophone, the community is really dynamic and have made a lot of really big accomplishments in the last decades. For today's show, I decided to sit with three people that have been here for various amounts of years. They have quite a different background, and well, before I say anything more, I'll let them present themselves.
So, my name is Paula Hoppenen, and I am a Community Economic Development Officer, or an Agent en Développement Socio-Économique, for the Northern Ontario Francophone Immigration Support Network.
Well, my name is Chantal Boimy, and I've been in Thunder Bay since June of 2000.
My name is Martin Blanchet. I am double bassist. I'm principal bass in the Thunder Bay Symphony Orchestra. I also teach double bass and other courses at Lakehead University. I conduct a French choir in the CCF, Club Canadien Français de Thunder Bay. And I also produce, arrange, and play, sing in the Martin Blanchet Jazz Quintet that produce many shows here in Thunder Bay.
I moved to Thunder Bay for a job at l'Association des Francophones du Nord-Ouest d'Ontario, so I knew right away I would meet some francophone. For other people, it's not the same.
I didn't know there was a francophone community in Thunder Bay. We studied French. We studied French literature. Our accent was mainly more standard French, so it was from France. The teachers that I had were very much interested in France. One of them came from England, so had their studies in France, in high school that was. And so it was just... It was Quebec and it was France. There was nothing about Franco-Ontario. There's nothing about the Francophones in Thunder Bay. But that was, you know, when the dinosaurs roamed the earth. It was a long time ago. Nowadays, it's much better. I know that there's, working with the Francophone community, working within the community, I know there's much more contact and much more collaboration with the local boards of education to get more of the local color and flavor of the Francophone community into the schools. And so I think that has changed a lot, actually.
No, I honestly had no idea. Well, after the language crisis that happened, I don't know if you remember that, but in the 90s, I do remember that when I was in Quebec City back in time. I know that Susan Marie had that crisis. And so I thought that the west of Ontario French was pretty much not happening.
It was definitely a change. I'm completely bilingual, so I'm used to being able to function in both French and English, but having been originally from Kapuskasing and then living in Sudbury, then moving to Thunder Bay, it was a bit of a culture shock to see the difference in living in a place where there's very little French services or just to hear the French language.
After that question, the interview I did diverged a little bit since they were not coming from the same place or did not have the same experience, I did not exactly ask them the same questions. You get that. So, well, now we'll continue with Paula first and go a bit more in depth about her experience with the French community and French language at large.
Well, in Ontario at the time, and, you know, again, it's been a while, French was, you had to study French until grade 9, and I discovered I was good at it, so I decided to continue, and I studied French all the way through high school. I even took two of these special courses, they were called Ontario Academic Credits at the time. For me, it was rather easy. I was already, you know, I already spoke another language. My mother tongue is Finnish. So I just somehow, and in high school I studied Spanish as well. So it just somehow came easily to me and I enjoyed it. Yeah, so that's why I continued. And I thought, well, when I came to the end of my studies in high school, I didn't really know what I was going to be when I grew up. I could have been an electrical engineer, could have been a musician, or something to do with French. So, oh, at large, definitely. I'd say the Francophones are a pretty happy bunch, pretty welcoming, happy to help, want to include you. I remember when I first started back, my daughter was, and still is, studying at an English school, and there was a lot of encouragement for me to put her in a French school, which, you know, it was a very serious consideration, but seeing she had settled in and made friends already, you know, coming from abroad, for me that was important. So, but I do get her tutored in French, and, you know, so, it's a part of it, and there's lots of activities. People are always asking me if I'm coming along. You know, it's and great people to work with. It's more than work, and it's definitely more than work. And I count many Francophones among my friends, so it's a great community to be a part of. As a student of languages, as a linguist, we know and we learn that when you learn different languages and when you speak different languages, you create meaning in different ways and different perspectives. Yeah. So I think that the Francophone community brings a lot of interesting viewpoints and perspectives and new ways of thinking about things. And let's not forget, it's not a homogeneous community. You've got Francophones from Africa, and you have them from the Caribbean, and you have them from Europe, and you have them from Asia and South America. So, like an English speaker would come from Australia or England, they have different experiences and they're able to share them. So I think that, you know, there's way too much to go into right now to talk about what they contribute, but it's a lot. Really, it is. I totally fell in love with French cooking and baking, and I just regret I don't do it as often as I used to. Maybe I'll start again after this interview, having brought it up, so. You know, what the Francophones are doing now and should continue is selling the community, in the sense, you know, that we're here, you have things you can do. I mean, why people go away to study and they get settled, but they also think, well, what are the opportunities that are available? And if we go back to, you know, it kind of goes back to the very first question. Did you know about the Francophonie here? I had no idea. And so does Joe Public know that it exists? So I think that we have to get out there. Or Francophone, I said we. So we have to get out there. We have to get out there and keep fighting the good fight and telling people you can put your kids into French schools. You can have, you know, French social activities. There's programming available. You can get healthcare in French. You know, our hospital has been identified as offering services in French because it serves a region that has designated Francophone communities. You know, so it's not something that you need to be afraid of. And that you can live your life as a Francophone in Thunder Bay. A Francophone community organization, that really wasn't on the map. My mother wanted me to be a diplomat or a French teacher. I didn't ever want to be a French teacher. I wanted when I finally decided what to do with my French. So after high school, I took a year off and went to France as an au pair to try and figure out what I wanted to be when I grew up. I decided to continue my studies in French but what I wanted to do was communicate with people with my French. I didn't necessarily want to, you know, transmit the French language as a form of study to anybody, or I didn't want to analyze it or things like that. I wanted to work in French and meet people on their own terms. I don't know where that came from. That's just how I always felt. So I thought maybe I'd go into business or do something, but be able to communicate with people in French. For me, it was a tool or a medium of communication. Just so happens that, you know, somebody saw other qualities in me when I was a recent graduate and hired me to work with the Francophone community back then. And it's kind of always been a part of my family. So when I came back from abroad to live in Thunder Bay, I saw the job at the Francophone community organization that I used to work for, and I thought, hey, you know, just throw that out there into the universe and apply and see what happens. And so, but I'm very glad to be working in a community organization. The community certainly opens its arms to me, so I'm happy to be there.
With Martin Blanchet, I went more with the classical interview of a musician, so you will hear in the next few minutes more about what he's doing here in Thunder Bay in terms of music, what are his influences, and all that classical musical interview.
It took some time because, first of all, the first couple of years I was here, I was just doing the season, the Thunder Bay Symphony season, and then I would go back in Portugal where I was working.
Yeah.
So I was doing both. So randomly, not randomly, but like for summer I would go in Portugal, so winter I would stay here in Thunder Bay, and then so I didn't have really time to exchange more. That happened more in my third year, because one of my friend here in the symphony, her name is Marie-Claude Tardy, was here, and she lived with Joanne Edgar, that actually passed away a few years ago, unfortunately. But she is the one that introduced us to all the Franco-Ontarians here. First, my main influences are classical and jazz. I did study both of them in school, and that's what I do mainly, both. That's my career is in jazz and classical. I love both genres. I couldn't be more happy to have the chance to do both, and here I do have the chance to do both. After this, I like other stuff. Obviously, I like rock a little bit, and I flirt a little bit with bluegrass and salsa music. But salsa, I'm involved with the salsa in the jazz group. Yes, that starts from my back in time with my grandmother. She used to listen to Edith Piaf a lot, and then that had been transferred to my mom. And when I was younger, I hear Edith Piaf running all the time, and some other French artists as well, but mainly people from Quebec. My mother was in love also with Félix Leclerc. She loved also harmonium and Beau Dommage, especially, a lot. So I grew up listening to this, and Jean-Jacques Goldman as well, and you know, all those French artists. So and also classical music. So I guess here it is. That's what I'm doing. So, but the singing French like this from European style, it came because there's a huge repertoire. That's mainly the reason why. Because if it would be the same repertoire here in Canada or in Quebec, I would use it. But starting from like the 20s in France was a big event, like the Chanson Française, and they, back in time, they were accompanied by either a symphony orchestra, sometimes just a jazz big band. So there's lots of resources in that repertoire. So that's why I've been using it a little bit. We did August 2nd, we did this concert live on the Wonderfront. with the quintet. So our show was Café Paris that time, as we mentioned. And honestly, to be honest with you, I was a little scared before because my show is fully French. So I was like, we'll see how people was going to receive it. And it was really, really well received. I'm really happy. We had nice ovation, people got into it, and Ash Young, the producer, told me it was the biggest crowd of the year and one of the biggest you've seen there. So I'm actually really happy. We had lots of help also from CBC, the Chronicle Journal, the Walleye here in Thunder Bay. They all helped me to promote it for free, so it was amazing, well received, well attended, and it was just a wonderful night. Fun fact, I don't know if it's interesting, but like I remember that we did some French traditional music here in Thunder Bay, actually to a party, for a Francophone party, I'm not going to name it, but anyways, and then it was mainly Franco-Ontarians there, and so I made a fully traditional, like, Québécois chanson répond, that we call it, and I remember that the reception was good, right? But maybe not as much as we thought it would be. Yeah, well, that came after working with Audrey de Bruyne, that we worked together for the Café Paris show. She helped me with the CCF to promote it, and then we talk, and then the fact that I was singing in French, and also all my background in jazz, classical, so they approached me with the idea of doing a French choir at first. So I gave them names. I didn't expect that they would ask me to conduct it, but it was actually a good idea because I do the whole arrangements for this. I write them out from songs that already exist, so I can adjust it with our combination for the number of singers, the number of men and versus women we have. So that was actually a really good experience for me. I didn't really expect that at all. But we're going through our second season. We already did 3 concerts. The receptions, people are really, really happy to hear this, I've heard, and the choir, it's not a professional singer's choir, it's everybody that just want to have good time in French and singing in French.
Yeah, and I think it worked well with Club Canadien Français. Your objective is activities for everybody. You don't have to speak very good French to participate, and with the choir, you don't have to be a singer, and just there to have fun. And
exactly, just there to enjoy French, and also singing in the choir and being social with people and exchanging. It's a social activity that involves the music in French.
Chantal was a last-minute guest for my show. I had somebody else in mind, but she had to cancel. So Chantal's interview is a bit shorter, but it's just long enough for the end of that show. I talked to her about more the Francophone community at large. She worked in a community organization here. She used to work for l'Association des Francophones, so I think she has quite an interesting point of view. Let's listen.
I think the community, Francophone community in Thunder Bay is very unique, very inclusive. And because a lot of Francophones are not originally from Thunder Bay, it's more or less of a transient population. People tend to really be close-knit, and the connections you make are genuine, and you get a real sense of family within the community. my favorite thing about the Francophone culture is the humor. I find the in terms of any whether it be movies or comedies, I always prefer to laugh in French. In terms of accomplishment and maybe strengths, maybe I'll talk about both, but I know that the community is very well known for its sense of collaboration. Everyone works very well together, whether it be small community-based organizations like nonprofit organizations, as well as the larger organizations like the French School Board. You'll often see successful projects taking place because of everyone working very well together. And in terms of an accomplishment, I think the establishment of the French language schools across the Northwest, even in communities where the population is very small and the number of students is small, having access to French language services in terms of French language education is a huge success. And I know that every organization, I could probably go on at length, but every organization really works hard at their individual mandate, whether it be healthcare planning, whether it be women's services or daycare services, adult learning, and most recently, we can't forget to mention the success of having a Francophone center. That's our very own, where most of the Francophone organizations are housed, with access to a community room and space that is available to use for the community, as well as other organizations that come in and use it. I just think that for anyone who's Francophone wanting to ever relocate or live in Thunder Bay, it's definitely worth the move or to take that step. For anyone, especially with small children, the services are there, the school system, the daycares. You have everything in place that you can think of to establish yourself and be happy as a Francophone in Thunder Bay.
Thank you.
To end today's show, I ask both Paula and Chantal, who work in the community more directly, to talk a bit about what are the challenges for the Francophone here in Thunder Bay for the next couple of years, what they need to work on.
How much time do we have? right now, well, the census just came out on languages, and it said that, you know, more people are bilingual, so obviously more people are, and we're hoping they're talking about French, of course, and not another ethnic language, but less and less people are speaking French at home. And so that's worrisome to some in the Francophone community, because then we're talking about mother tongue is being lost. I think bilingualism is a great thing. You know, I'm a bilingual person or trilingual person, so, you know, don't knock it, I suppose, but I understand where they're coming from. So working in immigration, one of our things to help communities, Francophone communities that are in minority situations, is to encourage, you know, filling the labor gap with French-speaking immigrants. And I know we turn abroad when we have positions that we've been trying to fill with the local market. Of course, you always try locally first or regionally, but when that doesn't happen, we look abroad, and many people in Anglophone parts of the country or the world want to look at other Anglophones and forget that there's a whole market of Francophones out there that they do speak English. So, I mean, it's getting more Francophones into the community, also keeping the young ones in the community, providing them with opportunities. I know in Ontario, we're talking about a French, Franco-Ontarian university, and I hope that comes to light because it provides people with a continuum of speaking French and moving perhaps into careers better prepared in French as well. So there's lots, but nothing impossible to deal with.
I think the challenge probably remains the same as it's been for years, and it's to counter being assimilated. It's very easy to stop speaking French. It's very easy to decide to either work in English or, and I know sometimes it's inevitable, to study in English because we don't have access to post-secondary education here in the Northwest. And a lot of French language students will go on to bigger centers to study in French and some come back. However, I think what we can continue to do is to do what we're doing now and to use the services that are there, self-identify, and continue to enjoy the added value that speaking French brings to anyone living in Thunder Bay, and hopefully not have to worry about that.
Those are big challenges, but I'm pretty sure that French is here to stay in Thunder Bay. I hope you learned a couple of things and that you might be interested in coming visiting us in the near future. Maybe to watch a show by Martin? Why not? So, before we end that show, I wanted to make some thanks. Thanks to Martin Blanchet, thanks to Paula Apanen, and to Chantal Bohemier. All three were nice enough to give me some of your time on a short delay. So thanks again. I've been Miguel Lachance, signing off. Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us for this week's edition of Rendez-vous de la Francophonie, presented by La Fondation canadienne pour le dialogue des cultures, the National Campus and Community Radio Association, Canadian Heritage, and the station. To learn more about the RBF series and the National RBF Celebration, and to send us your comments, visit ncra.ca/RBF.